Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're so thankful for you for tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, because it's our intention to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you've had on your mind for some time, maybe you'd like for us to talk about it and see what the Bible says about it on the program, certainly we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us by the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, world scholars seem to agree that the church was established in Jerusalem on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. In fact, Acts 2 gives us that record. And only a few with some creed to defend would offer objections to what Acts 2 teaches. But what was established when the church was established? Foolish question? Well, we need to read Acts 2 very carefully. And when we do, do we read about any dedication services? Do we hear about a chairman appointed? Or maybe any of the institutional procedures that we would expect if today's common conception of the church was indeed correct? Well, it just isn't there, is it? Today, the emphasis is upon the party. The church is something like a lodge. It's a royal order of saints. It's a society, somehow related to certain buildings. But friends, this conception is missing in God's record of the establishment. When you look at prophecies concerning the establishment of the church, they invariably refer to the relationship, or the basis for the relationship, between God and individuals. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1, the mountain of God's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. And that simply refers to the establishment of God's law for all nations. The promised kingdom was a promise of peace, according to divine judgment, that we read in Isaiah 9, verses 1 and verses following. And those that are ransomed of God would walk, as Isaiah described in Isaiah 35, verse 8, in the way of holiness. So this is what we see prophecies describing concerning the establishment of the church. But you know, it seems that many, they think of the church as something like a little red wagon. Established on Pentecost, it stood ready to roll, and people could just jump in and ride to heaven. But somewhere along the line, a side wheel broke, an axle was bent, the tongue come loose, finally a wheel fell off. Luther tried to put the wheel back on, but he further bent the axle in the efforts that he made. Others replaced the tongue with a new but a different instrument, unsuited, of course, to the purpose and to the function of the original tongue. And so the church was broken down and out of service. Then Alexander Campbell and Barton Stone determined to restore the church. They straightened the axle. They replaced the tongue with an original model. They repaired the side rail. They put the wheel back in place. And now people could get back in again and ride home to heaven. Well, have I drawn a picture for us? Perhaps. But only to emphasize what I believe to be the entirely wrong idea of the church that was established on Pentecost. This is a denominational concept. It glorifies the party, and it doesn't properly distinguish between faithful and unfaithful people. Who are the people? Well, the word church, I never was good in English when I went to school, but I'm told that the word church is a collective noun. And you know, when I think about that, that means that it collects people. And that's what the church is. It's not just any people, though. Christ's church consists of saints. It consists of faithful brethren, a people for God's own possession. Let's notice a couple of passages. The first one is Colossians 1 and verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. See, that's who the people are. That's what the church is. It is made up of saints and faithful brethren. Let's look at 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2, let's look at verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So see, Christ's church consists of saints and faithful brethren, a people for God's own possession. And of all of the multitude gathered in Jerusalem, it was only those that gladly received his word and were baptized that the Lord added to the church. We see that in Acts 2 and verse 41. So members of the church, they sin, but they are expected to repent and pray for God's forgiveness. In failing to do that very thing, they're denied the fellowship of other Christians. We see that when we read of Paul addressing the problem of the fornicator in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He makes mention of the fact that what they needed to do with this fornicator, who was obviously unwilling to repent of his sins, was, in verse 5, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. He tells them in verse 7, therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sanctified for us. And then he goes on and tells them how that they're not to fellowship with anyone, be it fornicator, or be it a covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. In verse 11, he said not even to eat with such a person. And so he tells them in verse 13, put away from yourselves the evil person. So failing to repent of our sins, we are to be denied the fellowship of other Christians. A congregation of Christians who collectively no longer act in keeping with God's will is unworthy of the name. They're unworthy of a place among the churches of Christ. You know, in those seven letters to the churches of Asia, we read about that one letter in particular, the first letter, in fact, to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, he tells them in verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So we see that the Lord's church consists of people that are identified with the truth, not just a people identified with a party. Friends, what God established, truth, the new covenant, the New Testament, it never changes. In 1 Peter, notice in chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all of the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. So God established truth, the new covenant, and these things don't change. But friends, the party, the people could fall. We're told that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, when he says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith." First, their attitude toward divine authority is altered. Then it's their practices. Then, usually many years later, their terminology. Because the rule is one thing, and the people who supposedly follow the rule is another. That's the reason Paul said what he says in 2 Corinthians. Notice here in chapter 10, and we begin reading in verse 12. "But we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." So we see that, as he also says in verse 13, "We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you." So see, again, the rule is one thing, and the people who supposedly follow the rule is another. And Paul said we must not measure ourselves by ourselves. You know, a person may stay with the building, or they may stay with the preacher, or they may stay with the elders, or they may stay with maybe 90% of the people, and yet they leave the church which God established. In fact, this is precisely the history of denominationalism, with its creed-bound people. Christians today need to restudy their conception of Christ's church. We must rededicate ourselves, not to some party, not to some part, but to the Christ, to his cause. I must know the truth. I must obey the truth, and do that regardless of the actions of others, whether those others are in the church or whether they're out of the church. I must remember that it is the purified and clean church, not the party, that Christ promises to save eternally. In Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at verse 26 and verse 27. "That he," that is Christ, "might sanctify and cleanse her," that is the church, "with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." What God really established is firm and it's sure, and it cannot be shaken. In Hebrews chapter 12, let's close our study today with verse 28. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Friends, we appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastafferettville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.